College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
My buddy Jimmy McBride up at the Great Boston Globe. Always good to have him on the bench. Merry Christmas, brother.
Merry Christmas, Scott. How are you?
I always enjoy having you on, brother. You doing good?
I'm doing great. Thanks.
Tell me the story about, because I really don't give a rat's ass up till now. At this point, I care. Up until now, I've had not a care in the world. I really, when I saw that everyone's accusing the Patriots of cheating, I'm yawning because I bet on him against the Chiefs, and I had a huge day. I hit 72% of my NFL bets for the seventh time out of 14 weeks, so I had a huge day. The only teams that I got burned on were the Pats, the Bills 5.5, and, I guess the Jags. And remember, Mafia, I had flipped that game because whenever I flip, I get burned, but I had the Chargers originally laying 1.5. So my thing was I was disappointed at how poorly they looked offensively. We'll get into that in a minute, but tell me about what's happening with them being accused of cheating.
Yeah, so this is really a non-story as far as I'm concerned. I mean, I don't think that, I think what Coach Belichick has said the last few days, and really what most of the people that read into this know, that this wasn't an act of espionage or the Patriots trying to gain an advantage on the Cincinnati Bengals. This was just the non-football operations people doing this series called Do Your Job, where, if you go on Patriots.com, you can see background stories about the equipment manager, about the training staff, and about the medical staff, about the video team. And this was the latest installment of that, was the scouts. They sent a crew from Kraft Productions to do it. It wasn't a football operations crew, because those guys all know that you can't tape the sideline from the press box. They know the rules. And if they were negligent anywhere, it was not letting the Bengals know. They knew the Browns know, and it was also not letting the videographers know that what was verboten and what wasn't. I think that this really was an innocent mistake, but I understand the heightened sensitivity because the Patriots involved, and there was the Spygate scandal a dozen years ago. But really a non-story, but it's going to have legs because, there's a lot of people out there that don't like the Patriots.
Well, now that it does have legs, it certainly has a stench about it. What is their reaction? I know that Belichick never says anything, but more than everybody else in Boston. So what's the reality of it?
Yeah, the reality of it is exactly what he said. I mean, the fact that the Patriots came out with a statement Monday night, admitting that what they did was wrong. And earlier in the afternoon, when Coach was on one of his radio shows, he kind of explained that, look, it had nothing to do with the football operations. And then the PR staff came out and said, look, this is what happened. We know what we did was wrong. We turned the film over, and they don't think there's going to be anything on there that shows a competitive advantage. And I know there was a report today that there was 8 minutes of video of the Bengals sideline, but it was just. Again, it was just a feature on a scout, and I know there was a lot of other conspiracy theorists that said, well, why were they at the game that, against the team they're playing next? Well, that's where they send the advanced scout to scout the team they're going to play next. So that's why it was the Bengals, and again, that's another element to why it makes it a big story, because those two teams are playing this week.
Well, now let's Jim McBride with us at the Boston Globe. Let's talk about their situation offensively. The Chiefs figured out how to basically double Edelman, and it caused a ripple effect on their offense for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's 2 weeks in a row now that the guys that are trying to get chemistry with Tom since the summer. Haven't been able to do it. Jacoby Myers dropped like 3 passes in that game, and he had shown so much promise. And, because of the N'Keal Harry's performance a week before in Houston, I think they were neglecting, they were kind of, I guess, gun-shy about using him that often. So, the receiving core for the Patriots all year, it's been a revolving door, even going back to training camp when Demaryius Thomas was there. Then Josh Gordon was there for a little while. Antonio Brown was there for a little while. So they really haven't been able to settle on anyone. And then they thought maybe they had solved the problems with Mohamed Sanu, but he got injured shortly afterwards. And he's not, you know, still fully up to speed with the playbook and healthy. So that's all those things, plus the inconsistency with the offensive line, have led to, you know, what we haven't, I'm not used to seeing up here in Boston, and that's Tom Brady and the offense struggling. You know, the storyline since really those early Patriot teams when the defenses were dominant was Tom Brady is going to carry this team, and the defense will do just enough to win. And now it's really the exact opposite. It's the defense that's shining, and, you know, for the most part, the offense has been doing just enough to win, but, you know, certainly have been exposed against some really good teams in three out of the last four games against the Ravens, Texans, and Chiefs.
Jim McBride, Boston Globe, with us on the bench. So I'm not worried about really the Bengals game for them, to be honest with you. I think they'll kick their ass. But what I am worried about is if I'm you, if I'm a media or a fan in Boston, is that there are teams in the AFC now that can beat the Patriots, that can flat out beat them. And if they don't watch themselves, I think their season's going to end. That they do not look to me right now like a team that's going to go to the Super Bowl. Do you honestly believe that they're going to go to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, it doesn't look good right now. I would pick the Ravens right now. I mean, they are the number one seed in the East, and, you know, they beat the Patriots pretty handily, and they're on a run. But, you know, like you said, teams, they're beatable. They've lost to the division leaders in the AFC, all
right,
three of them. You know, maybe if there's a silver lining to Patriots fans, is the fact that they've played these three teams that they might have to see again in the playoffs. And, you know, you get a second, you know, Bill gets a second crack at a team, and he usually does pretty well. You know, even back to the first Super Bowl victory back in 2001, they lost a hard-fought game to the Rams earlier in that season, but they never lost again, including when beating the Rams in the Super Bowl. So I guess that's kind of a silver lining. But, you know, as it's presently constituted, I don't think they have the weapons on offense to compete with some of these other teams in the AFC.
So when you watch them play Brady, and there was like a little window there where he was not really playing that well, and then he wasn't, talking to the media. And I said on the show that I felt that at some point this guy, he's so, you know, meticulous and so such a perfectionist, if you will, and such a guy that believes in all this TB12 stuff and the way he lives and eats and drinks and everything that he does to take care of himself, that I don't ever believe I could see him tolerating not being good. So if he sees a slippage in his performance, that he would stop playing in the NFL. He'd rather go out as the greatest ever than to have a bad year or two at 43 or 44 years old. Do you believe, but then I think he's turned it around. I don't think he's been bad lately at all. I think that teams are catching up to them as a team, but I still think he's got it. Where do you think he is mentally about the future?
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you on both points earlier. I think you're right that I don't think if he sensed the slippage in play, in his own play, I don't think he would want to hang around for extra season. So I think you're right there. But I also think you're right in that he hasn't slipped. It's kind of been the cast of characters around him, really only having that one reliable receiver in Edelman, albeit he's a great one to have. But when you only have one, it's pretty tough to win in this league. So, I think both points are right on target. And I think that, you know, when he says at the end of the year and even training camp, he takes it year by year, you know, people used to take that with a grain of salt and take it as kind of a cliche. But I think with him now, at this point in his career, he's in uncharted territory. 20 years at the same team, 20 years in this league for a quarterback. I think he really does assess it at the end of the year and say, hey, look, is it worth going back? And if they don't, you know, get him some more weapons, whether it's through trades or free agency or the draft, I could see him saying, you know, maybe my time is up. But he's got such a competitive fire, you know, and people were criticizing him, especially after that Houston game, for his body language on the sideline and kind of ripping into teammates. But, you know, that's the same person,
right,
who's so highly competitive. I mean, that's what makes Tom Brady Tom Brady, is wearing those emotions on his sleeve. So
right.
I don't think you can credit him with being the most intense player in the world and then criticizing him for showing that intensity.
Exactly. I would expect nothing less of him than to light people up that aren't doing their job right ever on any Sunday or Sunday night or Monday or Thursday. That guy's intense and always has been. If you can't take it, get out. Leave. Yeah. If you can't handle it, get out. Let me ask you a question because I'm not done with you. Honestly, it's Christmas. You have to do more with me because I want to talk about the Celtics, Bruins, and the Red Sox. So it looks like we're double dipping. Go get a glass of beer, and then I'm going to come back and do another segment with you, whether you like it or not.
Sounds good to me.
All right, Jim McBride of the Boston Globe coming up more. We'll talk about all the other teams up there. Jim McBride's with the Boston Globe, one of our favorites all time on the bench. He joins us from up in Beantown. Hey, Jim, let's take a second and talk about the Red Sox first because it's the winter meetings, very exciting. And but really what I care about is any of this – like, so you got Heim Bloom now, a whiz kid, instead of Dombrowski, but then the rumors that we're hearing about left and right around here – are that they're willing to trade Betts, Price, Jackie Bradley Jr. I mean, Christ, who aren't they going to trade?
Yeah, I've heard the Jackie Bradley Jr. and the Price stuff, but I think that they're kind of lukewarm on trading Mookie, and I don't know why, because this is probably the time where they're going to get the most for him. If they wait till late in the season at the trade deadline, they're going to get pennies on the dollar. And you know, it just doesn't seem like they're willing to sign this guy long term. And if they're not going to, they're better off trading him now when they could get something of value, but rather than, you know, have half a season of him.
Do you believe that, the Yankees are sitting here willing to give Gerrit Cole the Federal Reserve? And, they've already got a team that, went out again and won over 100 games. They're very stacked and fiscally. It seems as though, am I crazy that the Red Sox have gone, basically Walmart on everyone?
Yeah, no, you're not crazy. It's true. It's so much more fun when these teams are competing against each other, not only on the field, but in the offseason for the same players. Why the Red Sox are doing this now, I don't know. Everything seems to be like for the future and cost effective and getting under the luxury tax, which I don't really understand why they need to get under the luxury tax where they sell out that park, all the time. So I don't understand the front office logic that's going on right now.
So let's shift gears and talk about the the Celtics against like the Bucks and these other great teams that, really they're going to have to deal with the Heat, the Sixers, the Raptors, and the Pacers, frankly. People can say whatever they want, but they're pretty tough. And I know that I think they're playing the Pacers tomorrow night in Indy. And I got to tell you, I've watched them play a lot. And I mean like every game. So, and I just think it's unbelievable to me. The guy, because Tatum's always kind of been good for me. I think he's just a really good player. And he's really come into his own. But the guy that's taken his game to a whole nother level this year, again, with speed and just burst ability and getting to the 10 and making big buckets and in droves, buckets in droves, like he'll take over a game in the third or fourth quarter, is Brown.
Yeah, he's and it's funny. It's gonna be funny to see how with Gordon Hayward came back the other night. They virtually played the same position, so it's gonna be funny to see how those minutes get divided now. Because, like you said, Jalen, while Hayward was out, Jalen was on fire and has been spectacular. And I don't think anyone up here that watches the Celtics want to see that see that change anytime soon. So it'll be interesting to see how Brad Stevens manipulates those minutes, but. I'll tell you another guy that has really impressed me this year for the Celtics that's kind of under the radar is Robert Williams, the big power forward
right.
That they drafted 2 years ago. He's a lot more athletic and he seems to be a lot more involved and motivated this year than he was last year. I know he was hurt and he had some injuries here and there, but he gives them a real strong presence underneath when he's on when he's going. And I think if you keep his minutes reasonable. It's not unreasonable to think that he's going to be a major contributor all season long.
I think Smart's a great defender, and he's the heart and soul of that team. Do the fans?
He's the longest tenured guy on this team,
right?
Or not, and he really is the engine for this team.
And he's actually, when you remember when he was in college, he was a real meltdown hothead, and he had issues. And then when he came into the league, he had some issues, but. he's really grown up a lot. Like one night, do you remember the night when the fan, he got into it with a fan, and then after the game, he's just like, you know, I thought the way he handled it after the game, he's like, listen, I mean, they pay us to play basketball, and I know these fans want to come out here and watch us play and everything, but, you start up with me or you kick me when he's on the sideline or whatever the hell it was. Someone put their hands on him or something, and he was just like, I understand why you're here and everything like that, but I just want you to know that, like, if this were out on the street, this would be handled very differently. Now, the same kid would have said, I believe, 5 years ago, he would have said, on the street, I would have knocked your Pharrellian teeth out, and I would have shanked you with a blade, and I would have cut your neck dead. And I think now he's just like, listen, this would be handled very differently outside. I just want you to know. And I think the league needs to take a look at these fans sitting front row, putting their hands on these million-dollar players. We're out here trying to get paid to play basketball. We are not out here to have people touch us.
Yeah. You know, Stevens has put him in a leadership position on this team, and he's really embraced it. And the team kind of identifies with him. And, they love his attitude. His he's sprawling across the floor, like, for loose balls the way we haven't seen up here since Larry Bird was here.
Larry Bird is the greatest player that ever lived. I just wanted to say that, as you know, I've never been a Celtic fan.
Agreed.
But he's the greatest player that I ever saw play basketball. And I got to tell you, the greatest big man, power forward that I've seen, like, I've seen a million of them. Now, people are going to say I'm crazy. But one guy that was completely, absolutely unstoppable with his pivot foot and pump fakes, the best ever at pump fakes and pivot foot moves, was Kevin McHale.
Oh, yeah. Unbelievable low post moves.
Right.
You know, with Bird passing the ball, probably the best big man passer of all times. Maybe Walton in there too. But,
right.
They were unstoppable because he could find McHale in the post. And he was you could not defend him. You just couldn't. His arms were too long. And once he got that up and under, see you later.
Right. All right. So let me ask you about the Bruins. They continue to be one of the toughest teams in the NHL, without a doubt. Are you surprised that after they went to the Cup Finals and lost, that they didn't have, like, some kind of strung-out hangover? Because when you play into mid-June, coming back in October and, you know, camp in September to play 82 more, a lot of guys bail on that plan the year after the Cup Finals, like Nashville, San Jose. They all piked and just went fishing. They literally just were like, screw this. I'm making $9 million a year. I am going to drink beer, and I'm going to get some leg. I don't care about anything else. Let's go to dinner. But the Bruins go out and play hard every night.
Yeah, I think it's a great testament to the leadership on that team, too, as well, with Bergeron and Chara. And, you know, they talked about it a lot. They got together a lot as a team during the summer and talked about getting over this, getting over that Game 7 loss and putting it behind them. And they came out of the gate storming. You know, they have a lot of the same guys that were there last year. And they just really picked up where they left off. You know, it's like you say, that hangover can be there, and it's a real thing. But I think they realized that in the back of their heads, and they said, hey, we're not going to let that happen to us. And you know, they've made it a point to stick together, and you know, they take their cues from Bergeron and Chara, and you know, those are two of the best leaders in the league. You know, Papa Bear Chara and Bergeron, just, you know, he's just probably the greatest two-way player we have in the game.
How do you feel about the fact that, they're in first in the Atlantic, obviously killing it by 10 points and have one of the best teams in the league. I think they're maybe third in points, something like that, in the whole league. That's crazy. But how do you feel about the fact that I've been on, I was on The Hub, now I'm on EEI. Do you think that I'm more popular now than, you know, the governor, the chief of police, the Red Sox, they don't spend any money anymore. Am I basically on par with the Celtics, Bruins, and Patriots? Am I getting close to being on par in concert, in popularity, in concert with those three franchises?
Absolutely no worse than four. Sorry, no worse. It's probably Patriots, Celtics, Bruins, Pharrell. Everyone else is in the room.
I like that. I'm on the rise. Listen, Jim, have a fantastic Christmas and happiest of New Year's to you and your family. You know how much I respect you and love you. You're just absolutely kick-ass on my show all these years. Have a wonderful holiday with your family, and a safe one and a healthy one and a prosperous 2020. Huge fan of yours. Keep doing your thing, and we'll always have you on the bench, my friend. God bless. Be cool.
Thanks, Scotty. Same right back at you. Love being on your show.
All right, Jim McBride of the Boston Globe with us tonight on the bench.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.